We're at the top of Daftepa, the Mishnah. So Mishnah is a little cryptic, so it's not so easy to understand. The Gemara is going to interpret the Mishnah, but even with the Gemara's interpretation, it's still a little bit cryptic. Okay, so the Gemara says, Mishnah says, Kenidrei Rishoyim. If he says Kenidrei Rishoyim, that I want to make a neder like the Nidrei Rishoyim, then Nadar b'Nazir b'Karbanu Shvua. Then he succeeded in making a neder by Nazir, by a Karban, and a Shavua. Now what actually transpired here is difficult to discern. In that there's two possibilities. One possibility is that these are three, which seems the simplest way. Then whether Ron learned, some others learned that these are three separate nedarim that he took. He took a Kenidrei Rishoyim and he connected it to a neder Nazir, or he took it to a Karban, or he said Kenidrei Rishoyim by a Shavua. Then it works. There are others that say, no, that he took one ned there, Kenidrei Rishoyim, and he said it all in one shot. Kenidrei Rishoyim, Neder B'Nazir, B'Karban Shavua, which means, for instance, if you like look in Rashi on the right side, it says, Kigon Chaya, Kikar Munach, Lepanach, bread sitting right in front of him, Bamar, Kenidrei Rishoyim. And he says that Kenidrei Rishoyim on this loaf of bread, Mashmal, the Okto Kikar Yehalav, Kenidrei Rishoyim. This loaf of bread will be to him like Kenidrei Rishoyim, it'll be restricted. Right, we came into Amar Hachi. If he says this, Nadar b'Nazir, Uber Karban u'B'Shavua, then he has all these items now are placed on him. Bim Achlo Mechayev. If he eats that loaf of bread, he'll be Chayev Nazirus, a Karban, and a Shavua. He'll violate a Shavua. So it's, you know, it seems from Rashi that this is all one. He makes one statement, and when he says Kenidrei Rishoyim, what are Rishoyim taking the Dharm about? They take Nazirus. They make a neder about a Karban, and they take Shavuos. So when you use that term, it's an encompassing term that if you restrict yourself to the Nidrei Rishoyim, that all three of these are going to apply to you, which is pretty amazing. The Rambam breaks it down into each individual piece, meaning that Nidrei Rishoyim means that's the equivalent. These are still yados of Nidarim, because we're still at the end of the Mishnah, right? The end of the previous Mishnah. Talking about, and this is still an example of Yad Neder. So Nidrei Rishoyim is another Yad of Neder. You don't use the term Konim. You didn't say Nidrei Rishoyim, then I'm going to bring a carbon. Or Kenidrei Rishoyim, that I won't eat this loaf. Or Kenidrei Rishoyim, right, that I take a shavua. That will use, be a yad, it'll be a vehicle to create a ned there. Not that all of these apply when you use the term Kenidrei Rishoyim, but this term can be used for each of these items. Okay, now, if he did this with Kenidrei Kesherim, lo amar klum, he says like a ned there of the Kesherim, and he didn't say anything, because Kesherim don't take Nidarim. So since Kesherim don't like Nidarim, therefore when you say Kenidrei Kesherim, you haven't said anything. Kenidvotam. If you say like a Nidava of a Kosher, Nadar b'Naziru Karban, then it works for Nazir and Karban, but does not work for Shvuah. Now, what's the difference, what's the general difference between a Neder and a Nidava? Right? That a Neder is something where you make the, for instance, the chepet. You say that chepet is osur, but that's between shvua and neder. But neder itself says, when the person says, harei alai, they obligate themselves to do something, meaning like with regards to a korban. Korban, once the person says, harei alai, to do something, that's a neder to bring a korban. Whereas if you say, harei zu, this animal will be for a korban, that is a nedava. So what's that? That works by karbanos. So what's the difference? So the Rosh and some of the other Rishonim point out that they think the difference is Rashi on the next Talmud says a similar thing, that if you have a ned there, then you can violate Baal Ta'acher. You can violate not bringing the Karban on time, and therefore the Kesherim only use Nidavot. They designate the animal itself as a Karban, because then it's always in Hekdesh's possession, and there's no such thing as Baal Ta'acher. So it's Kodesh, and therefore there's no restriction or no way to violate Baal Ta'achter. Therefore, the Kesherim prefer to bring in the Tavot, the Nidarim, because then they wouldn't have this problem of Baal Ta'achter. Right. In terms of Tashlumin, there's also, Hari Alai obligates the individual to then replace the animal, because you have to bring a korban no matter what. Harizu, the animal is named Tashlumin, but although I don't know, from a Kesherim standpoint, I don't know if that would kosher or rush, I don't know if that's a difference necessarily, although it's a possibility of a difference. Now the Ron, on the next time I project that, shows that there are Gemaras that say that you can be over about the Akhna by Nidavo. But the Ron explains like this, that a neder is there something where somebody does something against their will, right? Or does it with less than good intentions. Whereas nidava means something where they do it generously, right? Or with good intentions. That's what he says the difference between neder and nidava. Now, why is that important? Because we just drew a distinction between neder and nidava with regards to karban. But how do you explain the difference between a nazir? How do you have a nazir that's a neder and a nazir that's a karban? Nazir only functions in one way. It's a neder nizirut. You accept yourself as a nazir. It doesn't matter if you're a nidava or if you're a neder. It doesn't do anything. They all function. There's only one type of nizirus. So how do you explain the differential that the Mishnah is making between neder and nidava with regards to nazir? So that's the Ron explains it to being has to do with the intention of the individual. And therefore, anybody who comes, if you look in the Ron, in the third wide lines in the Ron, not the widest lines, but the wide, when it first gets wider, the third line over there, there's a period in the Ron. And the third, right there, it says, Ve'ikala Medak, Hari Nedava, Ein Ela Ba'omer Harizu, Ve'neder Ba'Hari Elai. That's what we explained by a Karban, right? One is Harizu, and one is Hari Elai. Because they let Ela Bid Nedarim to Karbanos, Alva Nediros, my Neder, oh my Nedava Shaiti Be. Why is it relevant at all? Right? The Ron explains that the neder perusho davar shenu balagamrei benidvas aleiv. So that comes, the person does it, but he's not fully generous about it. He's not really wanting to do it. Benidava perusho mashadam no der yoter benidvat nafsho. Benidva is something where some person is giving out of the generosity of their heart. Bishemasav yoter b'tzuyim, and his actions are more appropriate or appealing, and therefore. That's the difference between neder and nedava, rather than the unique different distinction that we draw by korban. And that explains the difference up here of nidri rishayim and nidvot kisherim, is that nedava here refers to things that a person does with the full intent and generosity of their hearts, and they feel shalim with what they did. And we'll see that on the next time. How do you have that by nizirus? Right. Okay. So we're going to see that in the next Talmud. He points out the case that the Gemara brings in the next Talmud. That's the case in Nidava. Whereas Neder, we'll see. So we'll see that on the next Talmud. All right. Now Gemara says, the Dilma Hafi Kamar. So we said that Nidre Rishayim is the Yad for Neder. So Dilma Hafi Kamar. Can Nidre Rishayim lo Nedarno? All right. How do you know how to finish his sentence over here? Can Nidre Rishayim what? Right, so why, maybe he means, Kanidri Hashem Lonadarna, I don't want to take a neder like the Rishayim do. I mean, we know it's a Yad Shein Mokhiach, and that doesn't help us. Samar Shmuel, the Omer Kanidri Rishayim Harini Alai Vehemenu. That's what he says. That what? Kanidri Rishayim Harini Alai is on me, Vehemenu and from it. What does that mean? So now how are we going to dissect his words? How are we going to interpret his lashon? So, Harini Binizirut, right? Harini means I am accepting a Nizirut. Alai, is bikarban, right? These are the lishonos that you find by each of these, right? When you want to bring a karban, you say hari alai, you take a neder by karban. When you take a nizirut, you say harini nazir, or haneni b'nizirut. And when you say hemenu, it means, right, you're trying to restrict yourself from an object, then that is in a shavua. So therefore, harini is b'nizirut, alai bikarban, and hemenu b'shavua. Amara says, well, is that really true too? Harini b'nizirut, why do you have to say that? Dilma harini b'tanit kamak. How do you know when he says this term, the single word, hareini, right, it means that he wants to have a neder nizirut. Why can't it be that he was saying hareini b'tanit, that I want to take up, I want to have a fast? I mean, how do you know how to interpret the word hareini to be solely referring to nizirut? So, Amar Shmuel, kishaya nazir over lefanav. When nazir was walking in front of him. So therefore, it's muchak milsa, right? It's clear what he's referring to. But he says, kenidra shareinim hareini. What does it mean? I am. I am like this guy who's walking right in front of me, like this nazir that's walking in front of me. Now the Gemara doesn't challenge about a lie. That the Gemara accepts as being a lashon of karban, but hemenu, bishvua. How do you know hemenu means shvua? Right? Dilma, hemenu dachilna kamar, right? Maybe I'm taking a shvua that I will eat it. Who says that he's taking a shvua that he won't eat it? I mean, how do we know when you're saying something about another object that it has any bearing on which direction, if it's positive or negative? Gemara says, "Amarava da amar hemenu shelo ochel." Right, that the words are more definitive. He says, "Hemenu shelo ochel." Yochi myla memra. If that's the case, what do we care? Meaning that's so obvious that's the interpretation. Hemenu shelo ochel. I mean, we know that he doesn't want to eat it. Now that's a shavua. Meaning, why would you need? What are you coming to teach me then? Why is there a chiddush at all? Yochi myla memra. Ma d'teima halo mipik shavua mipume. He never made a shavua. He doesn't use any term that refers to shavua. Right? Maybe that's not valid here, Kamash Malon, that it works. That when you say Kenidre Rishayim Hemenu, right, that Hemenu is a reference to Shvua. When you say Hemenu Shlochel, that is a Shvua, even though you never formulated it as a Shvua. So that still works. Even though it's not formulated as a Shvua, it still works as a Shvua. So that's, again, now, when it comes down to this point, you know, whether this is a single Shvua or these are, meaning that three individual, I mean, you could say, right, you could interpret this Gemara to read, Kenidre Rishayim, like what I read it, Kenidre Rishayim, Harini Alai Behemenu. Right? So that's all one sentence. He says it at one shot, and then he's usher in all three of them. Or, is the Gemara, like in our Mishnah, the original Mishnah, giving you examples. Kenidre Rishayim Harini, or Kenidre Rishayim Alai, or Kenidre Rishayim Hemenu. I mean, those are three different possibilities of how he could start with Kenidre Rishayim and have each of those terms be referenced here. Again, that depends on what we spoke about in the Mishnah, how the Rishonim are learning this. Is it a single statement that gets him to all three, or is there three individual statements that he's going to make that could end up in each of these items? Right now, the Gemara says, Kenidre Kesherim lo amar klum, Kenid botam nadar. If he says Kenidre Kesherim, it doesn't work because Kesherim don't make Nadarim, they don't take Shavuos, they don't take Nadarim, they don't accept Karbanos in that manner, but when they do Nidava, then it works for Nazir and for Karban. I'll just point out here that we say here that the Kesherim never take a Shavuot. Right? Because Kesherim, over here we say, even when we say Ki Nidre Kesherim or Ki Nidvot Kesherim, the only two things that you have that work by Nidava are Karban and Nazirut, but not Shavuot. That's all the Rishonim say, that Kesherim never take a Shavuot. Okay? But why don't they? What about yesterday? Yesterday's daf. We have that case that the Kesherim are taking a Shavua, where it says what? That the Zarzei the Mitzvos, that the Zarzei Nafshe. So we see they are taking a Shavua. Wait a minute. That's not a, no Rush is taking a Shavua to be the Zarzei the Mitzvos, right? The fact that he's taking a Shavua to be Zarzei the Mitzvos is probably talking about a kosher. So what are we talking about here? So there's two possibilities. The Rush and the Ran explain that differently, or try to interpret that differently. That goes somewhat back to where Rabbi David was speaking about yesterday. When you take a Shavua, the Lazaris Mimitzos, is it really a Shavua? Or is it simply a Zirus? Right? So that's, if you look in the Rosh, the last line in Rashi. If you look in the last line in Rashi, you go to the right, there's a Rosh right there, Aval Shavua. You see that? Right across from the last line in Rashi, Aval Shavua in the Rosh. Aval Shavua lo, Tlein Shavua lo Shayach Lameimar Nidava. By Shavua, there's no such thing as a Nidava. Nobody takes a Shavua. Hilkach Kesherim Eini Shavuim Klal. Kesherim never take a Shavua. Apagav Darmin in the L. We just said in yesterday's daf, Shnei Shavuim Lekayim Et HaMitzvah, that you can't take a Shavua to Mekayim the Mitzvah. Ha'ilav Shavuahu. That's not a Shavua. That was Ruzvei Ve'alma. So you see what the Rosh says? That's not really a Shavua. That doesn't qualify. It doesn't even take on its Hokif as a Shavua. That's what it means. You couldn't take a Shavua like that. That's what the Gemara says. Gemara says, Ein Shavua Chal HaShavua, Yimushbu Omer HaTzinai. So the Gemara says, it's Ruzvei Nafshei. What does it mean, Lizruzei Nafshidei? According to the Rosh, it means that he didn't take a Shavua. He didn't succeed in taking a Shavua, but it just is that we allow you to do this. It's not considered Shem Shemayim Vatal. It's not considered unnecessary. If you do it with the shame, or if you do it without the shame, it's not unnecessary. You won't become used to doing it. It's Lizruzei Nafshidei. That's okay, but it's not a real Shavua. That's how the Rosh explains it, right? Similar to what the Ramban said, right? Rabbi David was quoting the Ramban, similar to what the Ramban said. But the Ran over here, learns differently. If you look in the Ran, it's the first wide line in the Ran. As the lines get wider, not the widest lines, but the first wide line in the Ran, up where the Gemara ends, says, V'af al-gav, right in the middle of that line, it says, V'af al-gav. V'af al-gav, Darmin in La'el, just like we said yesterday, V'af al-gav, Ruzei Nafshayu, Nishvoyim L'dvar Mitzvah. There you take a Shavua for Dvar Mitzvah. Ha'i Shavua lo mikre nedova. That's not called, it's called a Shavua, but it's not called a nedova. Shari kvar hei mechuvayovim l'kayim et ha-mitzvah. Because you're already mechuyav in the mitzvah. How can you call it? Nidova is something you do voluntarily. Here you're not doing something voluntarily, you have to do the mitzvah anyway. So you take a Shavua on top of that, that's not called a Nidova. So even though Kesherim do take this type of Shavua, and it is a Shavua, it's not called a Nidova. So when you say Nidova Kesherim, that does not qualify as a Nidova. Alright, so that's just an interesting difference in how they view the Shavua from yesterday. I mean, the Rosh says it's not a Shavua at all. That's why we don't worry about it. The Ran says it is a Shavua, but it's not called a Shavua Nedava, because you're obligated in it. That's why when we say Kenidvas Kesherim, you only have Karban and the Zirus, and not Shavua. Right now, in the Gemara, back in the Gemara now.
The Rosh would be saying that if one did take such a Shavua and a Zirus, and does not, you know, in whatever area doesn't fulfill it, he's not chayav chalef and he's not chayav lavos.
Right. I mean, for that shvuah.
For that shvuah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like it's not a valid shvuah. That's like the Ramban was suggesting yesterday. Mm-hmm. Alright. Man, tano, the shani le ben neder, the dava. Who's the tana that says there's a difference between a neder and a dava? Lema lo Rabbi Meir, below Rabbi Yehuda. Let's say that the author of our mission is not Rabbi Meir and not Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya. Tova sher lo tidor, right? It says better one who is not, does not take a neder, mitidor lo tishalem, right? That where, than someone who, takes a neder and does not pay. The previous clause before that is, right? Kitindor, right? When you take a neder, make sure that you pay it. Then the next line of the pasuk is tov, right? Tova sher lo tidor, and sher tidor lo tishalem. The question of tov, what is better? I mean, that what is that tov referring to? Is that tov referring to the beforehand? Meaning that it's a, when you take a neder, pay your neder. Tov, that's the best way. But if you're not going to do that, better not take the neder than take the neder and not pay. Or you can interpret it like this, right? If you take a neder, pay. But tov, the best thing is, don't take a neder at all, because that way you never have to worry about not paying. Right? So that's my focus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi. So tov, mizeh, umizeh, the best thing is, sheno noder kol ikar, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir learns the best thing to do is not take any nedarim. Whether it's a neder to, you do a neder and you fulfill it, or a neder and you don't fulfill it, best is not to take the neder at all. Then you never come to these issues. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Meir told, mizeh, umizeh, noder mishalem. Now the best situation is you take a neder and you pay your neder. Right? Otherwise, you're better off, what? Not taking a neder. Right, then taking a neder and not fulfilling it. So that's it. So machlokas. But our Mishnah, neither the Rabbi Yehuda, neither Rabbi Meir differentiates between nedava and neder. They seem to make a general statement, whether about neder or nedava, that either better not to take it at all, or better to take it and fulfill it. So Gemara says, no, afilu tema. So today's Gemara is going to go through afilu tema Rabbi Meir, tomorrow's Gemara will be afilu tema Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says, no, we can explain this Mishnah according to Rabbi Meir. How are we going to explain the Mishnah according to Rabbi Meir? Kikama Rabbi Meir ben neder. When Rabbi Meir said his statement about not better not to take anything at all, that's by a neder. Ben nedava lo kamar. By nedava he does not say such a thing. Batani kinit votam. In our Mishnah, what it says that he says kinit vot kisherim. What does he end up having? He ends up having a neder nazir, right, and a korban, which are both nedarim. So how could you say that he really thinks our Mishnah says that he uses the lashon nedava and ends up with a neder? So when it says tani nadov. So amend the Mishnah to read that he was Nadav. Nadav a Nazir, and he was Nadav a Karban. So now you have the question. Now you have the Ron's question. Right? By Mishnah Noder Delo. Right? Why do we say by Noder that it's not working, or it's not of the Ksherim? Dilma Ati Baladeta Kala, because he might come to trip up on it. He might make a mistake. Nadav a Nami, by Nadav also, Lo. Dilma Ati Baladeta Kala. Maybe he'll come and make a mistake, and he won't bring the Karban. And so now again, the data color here, right, is, what type of color are we talking about here? What type of problem are we talking about here? So Rashi has to come up with a new problem. Why? Because Rashi says by Nidava, there's no Isra Baal Ta'acher. So therefore, you have to come up, what's the problem? So Rashi says, the problem here is that he might come to Gizav Avoda. If it's around here, you might, shear it, and you might do work with it, even though it belongs to Hekdesh. So there's problems that can come up. As the Ron can learn that the simple problem is, what's the difference between neder and nedava? If you both are, you're over about the Acher in both of them. Meaning that if you don't bring it to the Mizbeach, you have a problem by both of them. So what is it? So what's the solution? Kehel al-Azakein. Like I was saying, Tanya, Amru al-Azakein, Shlomal Adon Ba'olato Kol Yamav. He never had such a problem. He never had anybody Moel. Moel means someone got benefit from your carbon. Someone used your carbon for something other than Hekdesh. So by Hillel Zakeh, nobody ever did that with any of his karkabanas. How did he do that? Me'evia kishi chulin la'azara. He brings it to the azara when it's still chulin. Meaning that all the way to, not into the azara itself, because now I bring chulin the azara, but right to the door of the azara. And then he was makdisha. Then he was makdishit right at the door. Sumech lev shokhto. Puts smicha on it and then he shechs it right away. Meaning that there's no chash of a problem here because he does it in such a manner that the hekdesh only takes effect moments before he's going to make it into a karban. And that says there's no way you can trip up, no way you can get into trouble with the hekdesh. So that's how he explained the difference between neder and nedava, or this nedava that we're talking about here, is not like we think of classic neder, nedava, whether it's the obligations on the individual to bring the carbon or the carbon itself is what's mukdash, but rather over here, what's the unique aspect of that? He did it in a manner which could there be no shakal, no chance that there's any problem here. That's uniqueness of what Hillel HaZaken says. Hanicha nedava de carbonos. That works well with nedava of carbonos. Nedava de zirut ma'ikal ha-meymar. Right? Sure, this is your question. I mean, what type of nedava do you have by nezirut? This is like Shimon HaTzadik. The Tanya is a very famous story. I never ever ate from an Asham Nazir. Asham Nazir comes when the Nazir became Tameh by accident during his, I'm amazed it even became Tameh during his Nazirut, and then he has to mitar himself, continues to use Nazirut. Before he continues to use Nazirut, he has to bring Karbanot. One of the Karbanot is the Asham Nazir Tameh, right? The Asham Nazir. So that Asham, he never ate. He never partook of that Karban, except for one. Right? Pamachat Bladam Echad Nazir Minadarom. There was this Nazir that came from the south. Retiv Shu Yafei Naim. I saw he had beautiful eyes, Vitovroi, and beautiful complexion. Tzoso Tavs to Rot Lo Taltalim, and his hair was curly. Right? He had beautiful curls of hair, locks of hair. Amarta Lo Bni, Ma Raita Lahashkit Tzarech Zehanoa. What possessed you to cut off your beautiful hair and to become a Nazir? Amarli ro'eh ha'iti la'abba. It was a shepherd for my father, Be'iri, in my city. Alachti malot mayim min amayan. I went to fill water from the spring for the animals and for myself. And it's katkalti bibib bo'ashali. And I looked at my image, my reflection, right in the water. Upachaz ala yitzri, like from the word pachaz kamayim. My Yetzer jumped on me, suddenly jumped on me, Bikishlo, Tordani min olam. He wanted to take me out of this world, saying, you know, Mana, how beautiful you are, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? Amarti la Rasha, you know, him speaking, this Roet speaking to his Yetzer Ra, Lama ta mitga'e ba'olam she'enach shelcha. What are you getting all excited about a world that's not yours? B'mishu otid liot rima v'toleya. This body in the future will be, right, rot and dust. Habuda. Right, I'm. Let's be certain. Shagalcha l'shamayim. I'm going to cut you off. L'shem shamayim. Miyad amanti v'nishakti arusho. So Shimon HaTzadik says right away. I kissed him on the head. Amarti lo b'ni hamocha yirbu nizrei nizrut b'Yisrael. This is the type of nazir I want to see. Right. Alecha katuv omer. This is what the pasuk says. Ki ish ki yaf l'dindor neda nazir la'azir l'Hashem. This is the nizirut l'Hashem. This is our proper nizirut. Right, so this is what the Ram was explaining. You asked me that before. What is the nidava? What's a voluntary nizirut? That's what the Ram says, that many people take a nizirut, right? And they don't, they think they mean it, they think they want to do it, and then it gets difficult for them, and they say, nah, you know, I really didn't want to do it. Tolim al Rishonot, right? That they regret taking a nizirut. Here's the first time that the Rosh Hashanah Tzadik bumped into somebody who felt that took his nizirut for such the right reasons, that it was so, right, heartfelt and right, Lashem, that this is the type of nazir, that's a nidava. That's the type of nidava that we're talking about. And that's the type of nizirut that he's talking about. Now obviously, Ron has to reinterpret here, he has to mention it here, what's the nazir over here? Why is it in, what's the exception, what's Shimon HaTzadik? Because he can't say it's a nidava simply, because that's not the distinction they're drawing here. It's not nazir and nidava, he's destroying that. What's so unique about this nazir, that made him so special. So that's the, Ron says that, right. Vachi Perusha, so he explains over here, this explains, the whole neder shmitoch inyan zeh, any neder that comes like this, kokach kavnato rutsuya. He's so l'shem shamayim that lech lamechus avoti takala. He won't make any mistakes. See that, what are we afraid of in all these nedarim? We're afraid that the person's gonna trip up on the neder. Right, so what's the difference between the neder that you're going to trip on and the nidava that you won't trip up on? Why is it just because he's so heartfelt is he not going to trip up? That's what the Ran says, exactly that. Not simply that it's a nidava, that it's a, right, it's done with, but when it's so heartfelt, when it's so right, when it's so l'shem shamayim, a person will not trip up because he's so focused on doing the right thing. And then when some person does it, they lock themselves in, even though maybe later on they regret locking themselves in, which is what the Gemara is going to say in a second.
Similar to the idea with Hillel HaZaken, in a logistical way, sort of, he made sure that the intent is so pure that he's similarly unlikely to.
Right. Well, it was not even intent, but in the Tava, he did it in such a manner that it would not, right, that it would not become Takala. Because the Gemara is drawing distinction between Neder and Nidava. I mean that if you look in the most simplest terms of Ned and Nedava, even in accordance to the Ron's interpretation that the difference between Ned and Nedava, one is heartfelt, one is not heartfelt, that still doesn't help you, because you could still trip up. Something could go wrong, even if it's done in a heartfelt way. So here, the Gemara gives you two ways where they can't get tripped up. One is by Hillel Zaken, where they're makdish it right at the doorway. Number two is this type of nazir. So how does Ryan explain that this nazir is? Because it's so heartfelt, Susan's so right, he's never going to regret it. He's going to make sure that it's done right and done properly. So that's why it's not a takala. These are examples of where the items are done in a manner that doesn't end up with a problem. So now the Gemara says, Makdiflor Ravani, Maishno Oshim Nazir Tomeit Lo Akal. Why by an Oshim Nazir Tomeit didn't eat it? Because it comes on a chet. This is a person who took a net in the zirut and violated it by becoming tameh in the middle. Every asham comes on a chet. Why is it unique to asham nazir versus any asham or any chatas? Why would he partake of those karbanas versus this? Why do people take net in the zirut? Because they were balei tshuva, toin. They're upset about what they had done in the past. They wanted to rectify themselves, so they take a ned in the zirut. Right? Kashain mitamin, rabin alayim yimei zirut. What happens when they come tamei? They have to restart their whole in the count of the zirut. And then when that happens, mitchar tin bahen, benimsu mevin chul nazara. Then they regret ever taking the ned in the zirut. Meaning that person took a ned in the zirut, he thinks for 30 days, what's the big deal? All of a sudden he becomes tamei. Now he has to wait another 7 days, becomes tahor. Then he has to count another 30 days again. All of a sudden it becomes, 60 days and more, that all of a sudden this Nazirus is a little longer than he thought. And he says, I wish I never took this Nazirus. When he does that, all of a sudden it's like he regretted taking the Ned. If he regrets taking the Ned, it's almost as if he didn't take the Ned. Then he brings Karbanos Nazir, or he brings that Shamot Nazir to the Mikdash, and it's as if he's bringing Kul Nazir. Not literally, obviously, because he is a Nazir and he has to bring the Karbanos, but his regret kind of undermines his bringing of the Karbanot Nazir. Somewhere says, Yoch, Gafil Nazir Tor. What's he worried about a Nazir Tameh? What about a Tahor? Right? I mean, even a regular Nazir, when he takes that Nazir, now it lasts 30 days. He took it in one day, I'll be fine. Now 30 days later, you think he really likes what he's been doing. So the Gemara says, no. Tahor lo damudei amidnaf shei diyoko lindor. No, a person, when he takes the Nazir, he assumes he can do the 30 days. That's the whole point. He knows the Nazir is 30 days. He assumes he can handle 30 days. When he comes Tameh, now it starts to extend beyond the 30 days, that's when he starts to regret. Meaning that the regret only really comes about when the Nazirus is broken up by the Tumah, and there he has to take on extra days. But if it's a normal Nazirut, that's not ever something that he's going to regret, and therefore, Shimon HaTzadik was not weary of those Karbanos. Only weary of the Karbanos where the Nazirus got extended. Except for this one individual who he felt had done it so l'shem Shemayim that he would never regret it because he felt so good about what he had done, or so right about what he had done. It was done l'shem. Alright, we'll stop here. Tomorrow's daf tries to explain the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda. We explain the Mishnah now according to Rabbi Meir. And now we're going to explain the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion tomorrow.